I told Rosie, I said, if I ever was a preacher, but I wasn't a preacher at the time, and if I ever was a preacher and I started a church, I'd call it Lighthouse Baptist Church. Because I love that song, Lighthouse. And then God called me to preach, and then God called me to start a church. And I didn't even have to pray about what to call the church, because God had already told me. He called it Lighthouse Baptist, amen? By the way, it's still there today. Over 25 years later, it's still there. Still preaching the gospel, still reaching people for Christ. Glad I got part of something that I believe God's going to keep going until Jesus comes, amen? I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. I'm deacons in church, tomorrow I'm meeting with the banker at 9 o'clock to sign just an extension for our, it's a revised mortgage. Basically, it's identical to what we have, but it's revised. They're supposed to be taking this property out of it, and just the land and the house will be in it. But I think it's a five-year extension, so we'll be doing that. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. I'm glad you're... Did we give Brother Mike's guest a gift packet? I'd sure like to make sure he gets a gift packet. And we're glad that he's here, Brother Mike. Glad you're here. Brother Mike has to work a lot of days, and Wednesday's about the only day he can come. And we're glad he could come. And Sam O'Dell took us out to Cracker Barrel last night for, no, the Monday night. Last night was Tuesday. And I got that when Bob Gray was here, Dr. Gray witnessed to a guy, and they came that. Well, I know he worked at Sam O'Dell. Said we want to take you out for Rosie's birthday. It was a couple, but we didn't go to this week. And I said, well, let's go to Cracker Barrel. So I went. I told the waitress. I said, can you is Bill working back there? And he sure he came out and I talked to him. They said, yeah, we love the church. I said, I missed you, Sunday. He said, I guess they're going to try to come this week. Amen. They live over on Scranton, I think his name of the street was. So I was hoping to get that couple. And all righty. Proverbs, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, glad you're here. We got Brother Billy Turner lined up in the near future. I don't know exact date to preach our chapel for our Christian school. And it might be next month. What, do you remember what the day is, Brother Dave? For Billy Turner? November 3rd. Oh, it's a couple months yet. But he'll be coming, and he'll be preaching our chapel. We're getting preachers to come in every Friday. If you ever want to hear some preaching, just come in at 8:30 on Friday mornings. There's always going to be a preacher. It'll be me or Brother Dave. We're trying to get all the local pastors, the Fundamental Baptist preacher pastors that are in this area. And so every Friday morning, they'll be preaching here. If you ever want to come in and sit in, you're welcome to do that. Alrighty. I saw something this week that just kind of broke my heart. And I just want to share a thought with you this evening. I want to talk to you about the good path of life. The good path of life. Notice Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Boy, we need, what we need today is we need people to listen to what God's saying. We're trying to get our young people in our school to listen, to learn, and to love our Savior. And it's a good thing for our adults too, by the way. And apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You want knowledge? You want understanding? Then seek the Lord. If thou seekest her as silver, people seek money. We ought to seek God more than we do money. Amen? If thou seekest her as silver, search for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. By the way, he's the only one that does give wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Knowledge is from education, but wisdom comes from God. There's a difference in them. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm glad I'm preserved. Amen. By the way, next Tuesday I'll be teaching. We'll be starting our Bible Institute back up from 7 to 9. I'll be teaching the Book of Romans, part 2, sanctification, glorification, consecration, and then there'll be Romans 9, 10, 11, or past, present, future dealing of the Jews with God with the Jews. But so we're excited about that. Probably go all the way to Christmas. Pretty much close. It'll take me 2 or 3, 4 months to teach that. So everyone's welcome to come and sit in on that class on Tuesdays from 7 to 9. Now, verse 9, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. God says, I can teach you the right way to go. Order my steps in thy word, the scripture says. God's got a good path for us to take. Those who are wise will take the good path. Those who have been deceived astray from it. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll help me tonight to be a blessing to the people. I know several had to work and others are home because they're not feeling well. And then, Father, I just pray that you'll be with all our folks, but Lord, be with the Hillis family. Oh God, what a tragedy. My heart's already just taken down so much, just a little bit that I've heard about it. Lord, please help all the family. At this time of hurt and hardship, Lord, and loss, oh God, be close to every one of the family. And Lord, help me tonight to be a blessing to the people. Thank you for their coming out on a Wednesday night. I know they're tired, and Lord, they've worked all day. But Father, I thank you for their faithfulness. Pray that you'll bless tonight here in the Bible study and the preaching. Pray that you'll bless the teenagers. Pray that you'll bless our Patch the Pirate, the Beckett Club. And so in the nursery and all that we have going on here, Father, in so many different areas. Pray that you'll bless every individual class that we have. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Could I have the fan on, Brent? Could they, Jimmy, someone? Notice verse 9, in every good path. How many see that? You know, there is a good path of life. If you search the scriptures and follow the things of God, God will show you that good path of life. Of course, eternal life is through a person. Eternal life is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. No other life, all life stems from Him. If you want to live forever, you need to get Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? But I want to address just the everyday walking and your day of living each day, the good path of life. There's a good path of life to take. And God instructs us and shows us how we can have that. And there's a bad path of life. And most people, I preached this last Sunday, the wide gate. There's a right path to take. There's a wrong path to take. I'm glad 30 years ago I got on the right path. I'm glad the Lord showed me the right path to take over 30 years ago. And I'm glad, Ruthie, I've stayed on the path. I'm glad I'm still there. Amen. And we've gone too far, Brother Bud, to turn back now. Amen. But, we sometimes hear this statement. Maybe you've heard this statement. He or she, they got on the wrong path. How many have heard that? Or he strayed off the beaten path. How many have heard that? And the question is, did you ever wonder or have said about someone, I wonder what went wrong in their life? I wonder what went wrong. Or, what a wasted life. I wonder what their life could have been if they only would have done what God said. I've said that about people. Have you ever said that? And a few days ago, I saw in the news a young fellow He used to, he played for Ohio State football 1 year, his freshman year, Maurice Clarett. He was an outstanding football player. He was a tremendous runner. Matter of fact, he helped Ohio State, and I know there's two Michigan guys. By the way, Dr. Bob Gray was a Michigan fan. And my Mike, him and David were good friends. They hit off real good. And despite him being a Michigan fan, we're still on him back because we have mercy and grace. Amen? And the first become last, and last become first. So anyways, looks like they got a good team this year, Michigan. Michigan's got a good team this year. It's going to be a good game between them and the Buckeyes. But let's get back to preaching. I love sports. You never know that, would you? But this young guy was a great football player. He was a tremendous runner. He helped Ohio State go to a national. In 2002, he helped Ohio State go to a national championship. And I saw on the front page of the Record Courier, I think it was, might have been Saturday or so, Monday. I don't know what day it was. Maybe it was Monday. I don't remember. But it was Monday. I saw on the front page of our newspaper here, he was right on the front page, Maurice Clarett put in prison. And then I saw later on the news on Channel 5 there out of Cleveland, they had him. They were booking him, and they showed videos of him going into being booked with the handcuffs and everything. And, you know, I thought, how sad. What a wasted life. What could his life have been? I want you to think with me for a few minutes. He was a premier runner in America. I'd say he's the best, but I'd say he was a premier. He's one of the best in his time. He was the highest rated running back in high school in the state of Ohio when the Buckeyes recruited him. And he had a bright, here's what got me, Bobby. He had a bright future. This kid had a bright future. He had a future full of promise, fame, and fortune. If he would have just went the right way. It appeared that he was destined to most likely be a star in the National Football League because the way he ran was so good. I could see him being drafted number one. If he would have stayed to his junior and senior year, he probably would have been drafted near the top if nothing would have happened. He'd have been a highly drafted person. He might have won a Heisman Trophy. In college, they give a trophy for they think one of the best player in of the school, of the football teams. And what I'm trying to say is, this kid, he had a lot going for him. He was almost assured he would become a multimillionaire in 2 or 3 years when he was a freshman back in 2002. I thought around 2004 or 2005, this kid would be a multimillionaire. 4 years later, on 2006, I see him being incarcerated for aggravated robbery. Here's a kid that could have been a multimillionaire. And he's being put in chains because of a robbery. Wow. If that don't sadden your heart. I feel so bad. What a wasted life. Are you still with me? You know, he dropped out of school, didn't return his sophomore year, and there were all kinds of legal hearings. He sued the Ohio State school. He sued the NFL. He tried to go in real early. They never allowed it. Just a lot of confusion and problems around his life. All kinds of legal hearings. And what the sad part is, Bro Jack, I don't think he never played football as far as for college or anything. I know he tried out for some NFL teams, but I don't think he ever played an NFL game. I don't believe he did, Mike. I don't think he did. Because he was so out of shape and they cut him. He couldn't even make it. And Now he's in a kid that had all that in front of him. Right while I'm speaking to you right now, he's incarcerated. Now that's to me, that's a travesty. Amen? I think here's a man that was gifted, talented, as far as physical abilities in football. He was no doubt going to be acclaimed as one of the top runners. And he ran himself right into jail. I wrote some things down here. If he would have just stayed on the right path and stayed in school, kept playing football, he would have got a huge signing bonus. He'd have been a very wealthy person today. Instead, he's in prison. If he had stayed on the good path, he would have no doubt seen fame and fortune. But now, he has no fame, just shame. Now, he has no fortune, just prison. He no longer is playing on the gridiron. He's behind bars in the steel iron. I thought how sad a young man, so gifted, so talented, never would be exhibited, been seen on the ball field, and never be used. And he'll never play. I it would take a miracle for him to play. Well, I don't think his time will pass him before he gets out of jail. And I thought, a life that would have been better, a life that would have got better and better as he went, now that life's going to become more probably, I hope not, but it probably will. Prison life, you get bitter and bitter and bitter. Are you still with me, church? I think there's a lesson for all American. I hope the teenagers someday could get this message. Almost had already bring the kids up tonight. I think there's a lesson for all of us in America to learn from this tragic story of Maurice Crillette. Number one, I wrote down four things. Number one, when you fail to listen to instructions of your parents, of your teachers, and your preacher, you are in danger of leaving the good path. In other words, when you fail to listen to instruction, you are in danger of leaving the good path of life. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear. You know, did you ever notice people that really have a lot of trouble and they get in trouble? What's the first thing? They won't listen to instruction. Because, Brother Bud, people in trouble, most times, they won't have an ear to hear. That's why the Bible says, ye that have ears, let them hear. Amen? And look at Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain wise counsel. Listen, I'm the pastor of this church, but I still go to my deacons and other people. I try to get their safety in a multitude of counselors. And usually when you see people, number one, you see someone go off the good path of life, it's because, number one, they refuse to listen to instruction. I think this young kid, if he'd have listened to instruction, I think he had a bad attitude. We called him a punk. I'm not trying to throw a stone. Please don't misunderstand. But usually a kid that's a smart aleck, we usually call them punks because they think they know it all. Are you with me? And as much as I was for Ohio State, I was glad he was gone. That's a horrible thing to say, isn't it? Because he brought such a detriment to the team. And boy, but just think though, if that kid would have had a different attitude though. What a blessing it could have been to his life. What a blessing it could have been to others. Man, I seen him screaming at the coaches in the first or second game. I said, man, I've never seen that. He was a freshman. He was telling them how to run the program. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this. The coach for Ohio State, Mr. Jim Tressel, he's a born again Christian. I don't know if you noticed the last game, they played, I believe, with Cincinnati. After the game, not only did the players of Ohio State, but the players of Cincinnati and Mr. Tressel, they were all in the middle of the football field, and they got down and prayed together. How many saw that? Man, that's exciting. Of course, Brother David's brother in Michigan, he heard Jim Tressel speak one time because he was a gym teacher or something, and he was addressing an educational thing in Columbus. And Kenny Ballard was, and he heard Mr. Tressel said the greatest thing in life is not scoring a touchdown. He actually said this in a college. He said the greatest thing in life is receiving Christ as your Savior. And so I'm glad he has a testimony for the Lord. Amen. I wish he'd have a better defense sometimes, a Russian, but he wins, and what are you going to say? He wins. He gets me going, but he wins, so I guess that's all that matters. Anyways, I'll get back. Notice, look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. You know, do you ever notice people that don't want to hear, won't hear instruction? Usually the first step downward is thinking, don't tell me nothing. I know it all. I don't want to hear it. I know it all. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody can teach you something. Did you know my little son, my grandson, Lukey, can teach me something? He taught me something today. Make sure I have a diaper on before you let me sleep on your couch. I'll never forget that lesson. Now, what I'm saying is that Dr. Howells taught me this. I don't care who they are. Everyone can teach you something, from the littlest to the oldest. When you think you know it all, hey, I think one of the greatest Christians ever walked on the face of the earth was Apostle Paul. And he said, I've not obtained. If he hasn't obtained, Brother Bud, we sure haven't either. Amen. In other words, he said, I still got more to learn, more to grow, more to understand about the things of God. Listen, none of us are perfect. I like that song, Tammy. He's still working on me. And our life is a continual God working on us. And he will, as long as we'll have a ear to hear. How many want to walk that good path, the good path of life? To walk the good path of life, you gotta listen to instruction. When a person fails to listen to instruction, that's a downward movement away from the good path of life. Can anyone say amen or oh me? Proverbs 13:1 says this, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. You know, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. When a kid won't take any instruction, that kid's in trouble. He's what we call unmanageable. He's what we call unteachable. He's what we call stupid. No, we don't call him that. We call him stubborn, rebellious. Hello? How many are still with me? Notice, even the great, famous Jim Brown, Hall of Fame running back for the Cleveland Browns, he even tried to counsel with Maurice Clarette, and to no avail. I mean, that man, Jim Brown, was one of the greatest football players that ever played the game of football. And he even tried to help this young kid. I think he tried to give him instruction. I don't know if the young boy, it doesn't appear that the young boy listened to him, though. Can't say for sure, wasn't there, but, you know, it just, to me, I just feel that the young boy, he failed to listen to instruction. Number one, if you fail to listen to instruction from your parents and teachers and preacher and from the Word of God, you're in danger of leaving the good path of life. Number two, failure to, when you fail to listen, obey, that leads to a person to have poor discretion. Those who lead the good life have poor discretion. And it's a byproduct of not listening to instruction. You know, you're taught discretion. We try to teach our kids as they grow up right from wrong. Are you with me? Look at Proverbs 2:11. Discretion, look what it says there, what discretion will do for a person in Proverbs 2:11. Discretion shall preserve thee, it preserves, and understanding shall keep thee. Well, if you listen, you might just learn something. You ever hear, just shut up and listen and learn. Hello? I've never heard that statement. There's a lot of truth behind that statement, by the way. Now, that verse teaches discretion preserves and understanding keeps you. In other words, discretion means to have discernment. When you got discernment, that means you're able to judge. You have what's right and wrong. You have proper conduct. You don't run out on a ball field with no clothes on. You don't do things with, it's proper conduct. Hello? Discretion helps you to make the right choices, right from right and wrong. Guy's got good discretion. He's got good judgment. Hello? Now, when you don't listen and you don't have instruction, you don't have good discernment. People that fail to take good instruction will not have good discernment. Are you with me? How many are still with me? The scripture says this. Listen, good discretion will keep you from doing and being in places with people that you shouldn't be with. Good discretion say, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think you guys go, I don't want to do that. That's good discretion. Come here with me. Notice Proverbs 3:7. I'll just read them. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Good discretion keeps you out of those paths. Good discretion keeps you in the good path of life. It keeps you out of the bad path of life. Proverbs 11:19 says this, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil perceiveth to his own death. I'm going to tell you, I'm in Proverbs 11:19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth to his own death. When you leave the good path of discretion, you put yourself on the road of destruction, on the road of sorrow, on the road of regret. I wonder if that young man has any grit today, Bobby. I feel bad. Here was a kid that could have done well, you know, and now he's serving in prison. To me, that's a sad story. Number three. Also, a haughty spirit will forsake the good path of life. Haughty means to be proud or arrogant. A haughty spirit will forsake the good path of life. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah. Listen, we need to be sure that we've got the right kind of spirit. There's a good spirit and there's a bad spirit. We need to make sure we have a good spirit. A haughty spirit is a bragger. He's proud. He's arrogant. I've never seen somebody that's proud or arrogant. Boy, they just, you know, they're just real flashy. They spouting off at the mouth. Listen, the Lord hates pride and a forward mouth. What's a forward mouth? Boasting, bragging, outspokenness. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride. See, pride and arrogance. See that? That'll take you off the good road of life. You want to stay on that good path. You'll never stay on the good path of life if you've got pride and arrogancy in your life. If you want to stay on the good path of life, you gotta, not have pride or arrogancy. Pride and arrogancy will take you off the good path of life. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. God don't like braggers. God don't like those people that spout off. It seems like when you see a person like this, you see all three together too. Pridefulness seems to have arrogance, and arrogance has a forward mouth. And that all those do one thing. They take you off the good path of life. Number four, rebellion will take you from the good path of life. Pride and arrogancy will take you off. Rebellion will take you off. The whole thing we've been talking about, the good path of life tonight. I believe if that young man would have been on a good, if he'd known Christ as his Savior and would have stayed on the good path of life, I believe he would be playing football today and not in prison. How many understand what I'm trying to show you today? And I'm showing you if there would have been a good path of life, I believe that path would have led him to the NFL. I think the bad path of life leads you to the prison houses. The good path of life leads you to the church house. The bad path of life will lead you to the prison house. I'd rather have the church house. Number four and the last one. Rebellion will take you from the good path of life. Rebellion is evil. 1 Samuel 15:23 says this, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft." 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft." What's the sin of witchcraft? It's demonic. Witchcraft is demonic. You babble in, if you dabble in witchcraft, you're reaching out for demons to invade you and your home. Don't mess with witchcraft. It's darkness. Stay away from it. Amen? Then it goes on, "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Idolatry, that's worshiping false images and false gods instead of the true and living God. Man, that's an abomination to God. How many ever heard he's a stubborn old mule? Stubbornness is against God. Are you with me? Unless you're stubborn for the word of God, in a good sense. How many are with me? Notice, there's two, like Jack, a guy can be stubborn and say, "I don't care what you say, I'm not going to church." That's against God. A guy can, now Brother Jack, Jack Dower does not like to miss church, and I'm glad he doesn't. Jack Dower does not like to miss church. It's in his bones. Because he's a, or you could be stubborn for God and say, "I don't care what happens, I'm going to church." That's a good stubbornness. Are you with me? The worldly stubbornness, though, is evil. Now, I want to give you some thoughts here, and we'll close. Proverbs 16:17 says this. By the way, this is a good path of life. The highway. We're talking about the good path of life tonight. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Stay away from trouble. Stay out of trouble. Do right. God, is this your, would you be pleased with this? You want to stay on the good path? You want to stay on the path of life? You put things before God. We were praying with Karen yesterday, and for Carrie. They're putting something before God, but they're just not going to do it. They want to know God's will. See, I think you ought to pray for God's will for everything about your life. And by the way, you don't have to pray about this. I know you probably read it, but some people even have not heard it. Don't eat none of that spinach is out there right now. You say, "Well, I don't have to pray about it." Because they've already told you people are dying by eating it. You know, some things, you know, duh. Hello? So watch out for the spinach. I'm not making this up. How many have heard in the news that people are dying, not just in Ohio? There's some things you don't have to pray about. You know, some things you should pray about, but some things you don't have to pray. I don't have to pray about climbing up and jumping off the top of this church building. That'd be stupid. Amen? So, but there are certain things you should pray about and things that really affect your life for the way God would have you take. You should take that before the Lord in everything by prayer and fasting. Go before God. So, but I want to read this to you, that the highway of the upright is a depart from evil. That's the good path of life. Listen, when our children are young, we need to correct them and teach them right from wrong. Right from a young baby. Right from a young child. They need to correct that. For instance, Titus. I see him back there. Eddie and Misty will have to teach Titus right from a baby, right from wrong. And there'll be times he'll have to be corrected when he does wrong. If he keeps putting his hand in something, like the electrical socket, something, no, you can't do that, Titus. It'll give you a shock. Don't do that. It's electrifying. Hello, how many with me? Oh, just let him do it. He's a baby. Yeah, let him do it. He'll shock himself to death. No, you got to teach him right from wrong. I remember David with Natalie and Tippy Brooke over some things. Boy, they had some strong spirits in them, and boy, he just kept at them till he said, "I don't care." And finally, they broke their spirit and that rebellion. It's rebellion when, "No, I'm not going to do it." "Yes, you are." "No, I'm not." You better learn to correct your children when they have that rebellion in them. Rebellion is an evil thing for children to have. And if you don't correct it when they're small, they will grow up to be very rebellious as an older person. And that rebellion will destroy their life and people around them. Notice, when our children are young, we need to correct them and teach them the right from the wrong. We need to try to stave off the spirit of rebellion that's in our children. And they'll get it, by the way. If you don't stop rebelling when they are young children, they will grow up and have a rebellious spirit that could wreck their entire life. Now, I'm not advocating beating your children. I never beat my children. I think it's wrong to beat your children. You know, I know I've heard of people taking their fist and you know, slamming them in the mouth. And him, that is against God. But there is a place where God made where instruction can be given with a hickory switch or a Alberto. And a paddle, not to bruise and to abuse, to teach. There's a big difference. Whenever I corrected my kids, you can ask, go ask, talk to David and everything, because David got more spankings than Tammy did. I don't know, Tammy got some. They probably both got them. I would actually pray with them first. "Lord, I thank you for my children, but they're doing bad right now. And I want my kids to learn to grow up to love you. And so, Lord, I'm going to spank them so they'll be learn to do right. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen." I'd say, "You know why I'm spanking?" "Yeah, Dad, because you love us." I did love them. They didn't turn out too bad. I never beat them at all. I did correct them. The trouble with most people, they won't correct their children as when they're young. And when you don't do that, they grow up and the rebellion gets larger and larger and larger. And finally, you've got a child that's out of control. If you would have nipped it, we have an old saying, bud, that you, at least guys our age did, and nip it in the bud. It's a lot, Titus will be a lot easier to manage when you correct him now. If he learns now as a real young age. Now, you would not spank Titus like you'd spank Skyler. You barely touch, or you just say no to Titus now and stuff like that. But, if you teach a young child when they're young, they learn and that rebellion leaves. But if you don't correct them, look at the scripture with me. Stay with me. We're going to read about five scriptures and we're done. If you don't stop rebellion when they are young, that rebellion will be the downfall of that child. I believe it was the downfall of Colette. With all that rebellion he had, Brother Mike, I believe that young man probably wasn't corrected enough as a child. I don't know, but that's my observation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what I think. And that catering, that's a good word. When you think you're catering to your kid, you're actually destroying your child. Because I think a lot of people catered to that boy. And if they wouldn't have catered, he probably wouldn't be in prison right now. Because when he got older, he wouldn't listen to anybody. Now the kid that could have been in the NFL and a happy life, now he's got to live a life in the prison. I think it's a tragedy. It could be any one of our kids. I'm not just talking about the NFL football. It could be anything in life. Look at the scripture real quick. We're going to close. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. I think Tammy did get more spankings than David. She really did. Tammy was a smart mouth. Tammy always had to have the last word. Ruthie, I'd say, now, don't say another word. And I'd spank, I don't care. And even after, she always had to have the last word. I tell you, one day I told Russ, I don't know how many times but I'm going to keep on spanking her until she gets it right. Never did get it right. I said, David, you take over. I've given up on her. Notice, he that spareth his rod, these people say, I love my children so much I never spank them. He that spareth his rod, in other words, you don't spank your child, hateth his son. I don't believe in spanking, preacher. Well, God does. Quiet in here. Now, I'm talking about right correction. I'm not talking about being mad and hurting and physically hurt. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about godly correction. There's a big difference. If you hit your child when you're mad, you ought not be hitting that child. Because you're not doing it in the way God wants you to. Hello? So the trouble with people, Brian, I know it's getting late, but I need to get this out of my heart. You need to hear it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Billy, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. One more time. I'm counting to five. I'm going to count to five. I'm going to count to five. How many times do I got to tell you? Then all of a sudden, I'm going to kill you. You didn't listen to you. What happens? You said something. They don't do nothing because you wait till you blow your stack. My dad would tell me, bud, don't do that. One time. If I continue to do it, my dad would just come to me and grab me. My dad believed in dancing. He'd grab me and we'd promenade all around the room. My dad only had to tell me once. He wasn't like five chances. And what's this? There's a thing. Timeout or is there? There was no timeout with my dad. Timeout. I would have wanted to time in anything. Give me outer space. But I'm glad my dad taught me right from wrong. And I didn't grow up with a rebel. I didn't grow up as a rebel. I might have been rotten, but I wasn't a rebel. There's a difference. There really is. Hello? Now watch. Look at the scripture there in Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod, he that spanks his son, he that spareth his rod, don't spank his son, hateth his son. So everyone says, I love my child so much I won't hit him. Sorry. God says, if you love him, you'll spank him. But he that loveth him, chasten him bedtimes. You know what that word bedtime means? It means early in life. when they're real little, young children. Nip it in the bud, God said. Teach them when they're young, then you won't have that monster when they're older. Hello? It's quiet in here. Notice Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. I've got to go. 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof, in other words, you don't want to get corrected, shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? It breaks God's heart to see people go against him. It ought to break our heart when our children does wrong. We ought to try to teach our children to do right. Amen? By the way, you teach by living it yourself, by doing it yourself, walking and talking and living so they can see God's real in your life. Proverbs 19:18. I'm almost done. Just getting to the best part, though. These are good stuff. 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Oh, wow. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Like, wow! I always start crying. So my dad would let up? He didn't. Watch the kids. They'll start crying before you. I haven't even touched you. Wah, wah, wah. You haven't even touched them yet, and they're wailing. Kids are smart. We did the same thing when we were kids. Hello? God says, no, don't let that crying. They're faking. You spank them anyways. Hello? Oh, I would to God we'd have this. Brother Mike, I believe that poor kid in jail today, had he had correction as a young boy and not so much catering, he probably wouldn't be in prison today. Notice Proverbs 22:15. See, God's all for the All-American spanking. That's what made this country great, believing in God, believing his book. How many believe his Bible? The Bible says to spank your children when they do bad. But is spank it in a godly way, not in an evil way. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I've told this story over and over. One day, Tammy and David, years ago, they were, I don't know what was in them, Bobby. Boy, I just couldn't get those kids. They just would not calm down. And Brother Jack, I went and got my King James Bible. And I sat down Tammy Lynn and David Richard and I said, you kids have got me going all day. And I've just now realized what God wants me to do. I said, look at this scripture in Proverbs 22:15. And I read it to him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I said, do you know what this tells me, Tammy? I said, David, do you know what this teaches me? Well, Daddy, you know how you guys have been carrying on all day and I can't stop you? Even though I've tried to do things. This says if I spank you, this thing is going to stop. Lord, I thank you for my children. I'm trusting your Bible that if I spank them, the foolishness will stop. I spanked them, and there was no more foolishness that day. God's word is true. And I proved to them, my children, how real the Bible was. See, we not just to talk about this Bible, we need to believe it and live it. We need to believe it and live it. We need to believe it and live it. That's what's wrong with America today. We all say we believe it, but we don't want to live it. And it worked. I told Rose, I said, wow, God's the best guy I know about teenagers and stuff. Or not, they weren't teenagers, young kids. I said, wow. You don't spank teenagers, you ground them. Unless they get real bad, then you spank them. Then Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Is that what I want? Not a bad verse though. 13. Withhold not correction. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He'll live.
Oh, I couldn't spank him. He'll die.
He's not going to die. Just spank his little buddy butt on the bottom. Then thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Because what you've done, you just... John, have you ever heard a statement that I'm going to beat the devil out of you? That's what, in essence, that's what God's saying. The devil's in him, and sometimes you got to spank him to get it out of him, to get him back with the right spirit with God. I'm going to close. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. I'll close. By the way, I'm just going to have you read. I got more scriptures, but I ran out of time. Just a good part, too. I should have started the good part first and did the bad opening at the end. Reverse the message. 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yet he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. You ever watch a good kid that really obeys? He's had good correction from a child. Now, I know everybody can go bad, even ones that have been corrected. But I'm going to tell you, if you teach the principles and the path of life, the good path of life to children, more kids will end up on that good path than they will the bad. I won't say they all will, but at least they got a chance. If you don't correct them at all, they have no chance of making it. Just write these scriptures down. We're not going to turn to it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 18 through 21. They said, if you've got a rebellious child, bring them to the elders, and they're going to take them out and stone them. You read it. When they had a rebellious kid back in the Old Testament, did you realize if they took a kid out and stoned them, how do you think that affect the other kids around? Oh, man, I'm going to start minding my mom and dad. I ain't going to get over there. It put the fear of God in them. Those spankings put the fear of God in you and your kids. The trouble with America is there's no fear of God. We need a country that fears God again. We need some parents that'll fear God and believe God and put the fear of God in their kids. I close with Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he will also reap. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would all be wise stewards.